You're listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show. I'm Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland. I'm a psychoanalyst specializing in food, weight, and body image issues, and I'm here to help you break free of the diet trap and lose weight without dieting. I'm also here to talk about a range of issues relating to emotional health and physical wellness. And today I have a very special guest, Jeff Weitzman. He's a Los Angeles filmmaker, also an actor, writer, and musician, and more. He's like the ultimate hyphenate. And he has just directed and produced and written and done the music for a documentary called Cancer Can Be Killed. And I wanted to have him on the show today as a way to kick off October, which, as you probably know, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So Jeff was inspired to make this film after his wife, Carrie, was cured of cancer after receiving non-traditional treatments in Europe 2 years ago. And today, she is totally cancer-free. In the film, he goes on a quest to find out why his wife was cured of her stage 3 cancer in 30 days via natural treatments commonly used in Germany when the United States doctors were telling her she needed surgery and chemo and organ removal and all kinds of horrible things. And he also interviews other patients who had similar success after deciding to take on their cancer with more natural alternatives. And when you watch the movie, you see he travels around the United States and documenting the natural treatments available, questioning along the way the reasons why doctors in the United States tend not to embrace those treatments. And that's something that we really want to talk about today, which is, hey, if this is out there, why aren't people using them? Why are people being told chemotherapy is the way to go? And Jeff also interviews some leading medical professionals and government officials on both sides of this issue, as well as cancer survivors, including a dog. Actually, didn't interview the dog, but boy, is that dog cute. People who have chosen to battle their disease with these kinds of non-traditional methods. And I think you're going to really want to hear more about what he has to say, and you're definitely going to want to check out his movie, Cancer Can Be Killed, which is available on Amazon Prime Video. So welcome, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.
So tell us a little bit about, I know you talk about it in the movie, but tell us what inspired you to make this movie.
Yeah, so when we got back from Germany and my wife was cured naturally in 30 days, and by the way, before we went to Germany, we sat down with the best medical professionals available, you know, and here's our urologist telling her that my wife, who has bladder cancer, he came out of the operating room and he said, "Your lives are going to change forever." And he had that look on his face, that furrowed brow that said, "Oh my God, this is awful. And she's going to have her bladder removed because she had bladder cancer. And it's going to be followed by chemo and radiation to keep it away. And the survival rate, the chances are 50% chance of survival." And we were horrified. And we did some research, and we heard about what they were doing in Germany, and my wife's own sister had been to Germany. She had had melanoma. They gave her 6 months to a year to live here. She went over to Germany, and her cancer was killed in 30 days, and she's been cancer-free for 6 years now. So the only question was, will the treatment work for our kind of cancer, or does it just work for melanoma? So we did our research. We felt like, okay, we can do this. But we wanted to check with our doctor first. So we went back to him and said, "Can we go to Germany to treat this cancer? They're having a lot of success over there." And he looked us right in the eye and he said, "There is no way you could treat this in Germany. It's far too aggressive. And you'll have no success." So fast forward, we go to Germany. We come back. She's cancer-free. And I emailed the doctor, and I said, "I think it's borderline criminal what you're telling people. This, you know, they're treating it in Germany naturally with focused heat, oxygen, vitamins, minerals, and amino acids, and it's completely restoring the body to health. So why isn't that something you're even researching or curious about?" And he said, oh, well, I stand behind my training and my years and what we do here. And so obviously we picked another doctor after that. Our new doctor's in Lancaster. He's about an hour or 15 minutes north of Los Angeles because that's the only guy we could find who was able to think outside the box. So after that, I was like, okay, I've got to tell everybody about this. And I pitched, because I'm a writer and I blogged for the Huffington Post, I pitched this to everybody and nobody would print the story.
Amazing.
Why?
Yeah.
So then I published the story on a site called Medium.com, where a lot of good stories are written. And the story went viral, and I started getting contacted by film crews saying, hey, we have got to film this. Let's do a documentary on this. And after about a month, they all pulled away because they realized, this story, first of all, it's going to step on a lot of toes. And we'd get blackballed from the industry if we did this story. So they all backed out, but they said, Jeff, you make the story and we'll mentor you through it. Mm-hmm. And so it was about 6 months before I got the courage to actually pick up a camera and go do the work of filming everything. But
You did an amazing job, and I think one of the things that really stands out is that you give the scientific evidence that shows why these treatments are the efficacy of these treatments. You're not just saying, oh, you know, do this and do that, and it's like this miraculous cure. You talk, and you have some very cute visuals with cartoons of exactly what's happening in people's bodies with cancer and why these natural treatments are effective, and making a very good case for why the reason that people are not getting access to these treatments is cancer is a big business. Just like you guys, you know, the diet business is a big business. It seems like it's there to help you lose weight, but really diets make you gain weight, therefore perpetuating themselves. But I digress, back to cancer. So the same thing with cancer. Big business is really behind cancer is big business.
Yeah, and let's talk for a second about the science, because my father was an anesthesiologist. So I felt like I need to appeal to those doctors out there and for even the patients that say, hey, I need science. You can't just tell me that somebody went to Brazil and got some crystals or some herbs and somehow their cancer was cured. Because that does happen. People do go away to far-off lands and they meet with some shaman and their cancer goes away. But that's not scientific. So I had to research this stuff. And what they're doing in Germany, they're doing something called hyperthermia, which is focused heat. And the science behind that is that cancer cells die above 109 degrees, whereas normal cells in the body don't start dying until about 118, 119 degrees. Hmm. So it is possible to heat this specific area where the cancer is, just blast it with heat, and the cancer goes away. So what we do in the States, the FDA, which protects big business, and they don't want to see anybody put big business out of the massive profits they get. In their wisdom, the FDA allows hyperthermia only in conjunction with chemo and radiation and only on head and neck tumors. Mm-hmm. Now, if hyperthermia were allowed in the United States, that would be the end of most cancers. And it's non-toxic. It doesn't hurt. There's no pain. But, oh, my God, we'd lose all that money, right, from chemo and radiation.
Right.
And from radical surgery. We wouldn't need to do that either. So that's one ingredient, hyperthermia. Then the other thing is you can freeze cancer. And for breast cancer, it's a tremendous option to just freeze the cancer that's in there, especially stage one, stage two. And right now that's in the clinical trial phase. So they only allow it, I think, for women 60 and older. I mean, it's kind of silly, but freezing, it's totally effective.
Well, I was telling this to Jeff. I will out myself as a person who has survived cancer, because 2 years ago I was diagnosed with stage one breast cancer. Luckily, they got it early. So I had a lumpectomy and radiation. And no one ever said that there was anything else that I could do. And when I tried to research it, there that was sort of looked upon askance by the doctors. And they scared me. You know, they scared the heck out of me. So that's what I did. No one said, hey, this is another possibility. I mean, and when I think about what my medical bills were, just me with stage one, with only, quote unquote, only surgery and radiation, it was, you know, in the like about $100,000 worth of medical bills.
And how vulnerable did you feel when you first got that diagnosis?
Oh, it's terrifying.
And how hard was it for you to rationally process what your options were?
It was very difficult because my mind just went frozen, and I frozen with fear. And you come, because you hear cancer. I heard cancer, and I think most people have this experience. In fact, someone in your movie says this: you hear cancer, and you think death. And it's all of a sudden so terrifying that something is going on in your body that you just want to deal with it and get it out, and you're going to trust these doctors because you need someone to know what, you know, you need to go to an authority who says, I can help you. And that, like, that sense of being held and treated by this sort of avuncular doctors, whatever their age is, was very comforting. And yeah. So, you know, that was also a big part of it.
Yeah, and the science behind natural treatment for breast cancer is that what the natural doctors are doing is, the first thing they're doing is they're looking for the imbalance in the body that's creating the cancer. Now, the Western medical doctors, they want to treat the symptoms. They say, my job is to get the cancer. So they're going to cut it out. They're going to burn. They're going to radiate. They're going to do anything they have to destroy the cancer. Oh, and I'm sorry your body's getting destroyed too, but my job's to get the cancer. Mm-hmm. Well, no, actually, your job is to find out the imbalance in the body that created the cancer in the first place. And so what we're finding with a lot of breast cancers is there's a hormonal imbalance. And when you get the hormones back in balance, the cancer has no more room to grow. So it's wonderful, you know, that the women that are getting treated naturally, their hormones are coming back into balance. It actually promotes weight loss, you know, which they love. So here they're getting treated naturally with all these IVs of vitamins, minerals, and amino acids. And then their hormones are getting balanced. They're losing weight. It's a beautiful thing. And they're not having any of the PTSD, the post-traumatic stress of chemo or radical surgery or this huge change of life that they supposedly have to go through. That's not necessary.
Yeah, when I was just doing the Avon 39 walk a few weeks ago, there were so many young women, you know, who were bald from chemo, and it just breaks my heart to think about what that, how devastating that has been to them, and the other implications it has. You know, if you have chemo and radical surgery when you're in your 30s or 40s, you know, how does that then affect other aspects of your life? So, I mean, this is just it's so sad that this seems so radical. You know, that this natural, and when you really, I can't stress enough how much Jeff does a great job of showing the science behind it.
Well, and you know, cancer is a symptom for something being out of balance. And so the science is the testing to find out where the imbalance lies. And you can actually test people for not only hormones, but micronutrients, toxins, metals. And so when you think of cancer treatment, it's getting all the good stuff, the nutrition and the vitamins, minerals, amino acids, getting that in and getting the toxins out, and then balancing the body. And cancer has no more room to grow. You know, cancer is like a member of the mafia or like a criminal. They exist in dark rooms. You know, they cannot exist in the light of day. And so when you restore the body back to the light of day, then cancer just flushes out. It goes away.
And I think I know the answer to my question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. So the FDA does not allow these treatments except in these very specific circumstances, and it makes no sense to have the treatment and also chemo, but anyway. But Germany, Mexico, and the Philippines do allow these treatments. Obviously, you went to Germany. So why those countries and not us?
Yeah, you know, America has always been about entrepreneurial spirit and making money, and we're all about making money. And Germany, the Philippines, and Mexico, their governments, well, first of all, Germany is just this beautiful place because after World War II, they were like, okay, we're going to start all over again, and this time we're going to do it right. And so they said, we're going to allow natural practitioners to exist and thrive along with the Western medical people. And they both cohabitate. I mean, there's people getting chemo in Germany, and there's people getting natural treatment in Germany. So they somehow said, you know, we're going to allow both things for our people. Now, America, the FDA is not in business to take care of us, the citizens. They're in business to take care of their other people in business. They're there to protect the ability to make billions. So this, you know, a lot of people ask the question, oh, come on, if natural treatment was so good, then why wouldn't every doctor know about it? Well, how is every doctor going to know about it? They're only allowed to read medical journals that print information that is specifically allowed by the FDA. They can't read about hyperthermia killing cancer without chemo and radiation. And if they start practicing it, they would lose their license.
And nobody is talking about it in other than terms of derision. You know, no one is, I'm sure their colleagues are just like-minded saying, freezing cancer cells, absurd, even if they're saying it, even if they know about it.
Yeah, and even, you know, the L.A. Times, when a film critic said, I want to put this film in the L.A. Times and review it, the L.A. Times said, well, there's not enough proof. There's not enough medical doctors saying that it's true. Well, you're not going to get a medical doctor to put himself or his friends out of business by saying this stuff works. So there's really a conflict of interest there. And we haven't addressed that conflict of interest yet in the United States. And, you know, doctors, I love them, and they're wonderful. And even drug companies are wonderful. But when it comes to the point where they're suppressing information that is keeping people alive, that's when we as the public have to say, okay, enough. You know, we've got to change the way we're doing things.
Yeah, it was really remarkable, not just your wife's story, but all the people and the dog that you mention, that you interview in the film. And just, like, I think there were a couple of women with stage 4 breast cancer, and one of them, she tells a story of how she went back after her natural treatment and said to her doctor, oh, you know, look, can you, do you think she didn't tell the doctor she was getting natural treatment. He thought she was getting chemo and, or going ahead with his recommended chemo protocol. And she went back and she said, well, so what do you think? And he's like, oh, well, see, you know, it's, the tumor is smaller by a third or something like this. And this was like 6 weeks after her diagnosis. I may not be remembering this correctly, but, and that's when she said, well, guess what? I didn't have chemo. I had natural treatments.
Yeah. She was doing vitamin C, intravenous vitamin C.
Yeah.
And I mean, what's amazing about her story, this is a woman named Carla in Las Vegas, Nevada. She said, I'm just going to change my diet. I'm just going to do really good nutrition. And then I'm going to do only vitamin C infusions because that's all I can afford. And within 3 months, the stage 4 stuff that was on in her lymph nodes started to move away. And then after 6 months, it was just the main tumor in the breast. And then after a year, the main tumor in the breast was completely gone. And the science behind vitamin C is that cancer cells love vitamin C. They think it's food. And they chew it up, and then they can't process it.
So they die.
They die. Mm. So there's lots of research on this. Now, have they done clinical trials on it? See, now, the only way you can get something new approved in the U.S. by the FDA is you have to go through the clinical trial process. It costs about $30 million and 10 years to go through that. Now, nobody with vitamin C infusions or hyperthermia or any of these natural treatments can pay $30 million and go through 10 years to prove that it works. So you see, the system's rigged from the top. Yeah. They're saying, we're only going to test drugs because that's the only people who can afford this process. We're not going to test natural treatments. And then any doctors that do anything else, we're going to take away your license. So there you go. The rigging, the conspiracy, it's all at the very top. And the people down below, they need to start questioning things. They need to start saying, hey, we can do better.
And thanks to the movies such as Cancer, such as your movie, people have access to this information. You know, that before, as I think you were telling me, that it's only been recently that documentary filmmakers can actually have their movies directly on, say, Amazon, so that people have access to this kind of information. And we have a caller, so hold that thought. Hi, caller, this is Dr. Nina. You're on with me and Jeff Weitzman.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Nina and Dr. Jeff. This is Larry. How are you?
Hey, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
It's a real interesting subject, and I have a couple questions, but a little story. What you're talking about reminds me of my experience with bladder cancer. Not once did any doctor ever ask me what I took in terms of vitamins or any medication or what I had to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened across a book by Mary Lou Henner and her husband. He had the exact form of bladder cancer, and it went into some detail about how they really hammered away on vitamins and even massage and different, you know, alternate treatments, but especially, attitude and food and mega vitamins. And he didn't have to have surgery. It's gone, and I lost my bladder because my doctor, like most, treated the symptom, not the disease. And
yeah.
Treating the disease doesn't make him as much money.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, man, my heart goes out to you.
Yeah, there's no saying what would have happened if I had that kind of knowledge and willingness and all of that, but, you know.
But also, Larry, in your defense, I mean, there wasn't a lot of this information out there when you did your work, and there's just so much information coming out now. It's a different age we live in.
Yeah, Larry, yeah. When was this that you had bladder cancer? And I'm so sorry that you had that experience.
Yeah, first surgery was in August of 2012.
2012.
And then I had bladder removed April of 2013, about 4.5 years ago. And all considering, it wasn't that bad. I had a great surgical team at USC and all of that. Go Trojans. But, you know, I actually knew about diet and nutrition and cancer long before I had the cancer, but I sort of just went, I took the next indicated step within the conventional medical community, which, you know, hindsight's 20/20, as they say.
Yeah, and how often do you get tested now?
You know, they want me to come in. At first, it was the first couple of times. It was 6 months, then 6 months, and now it's every year. Unfortunately, corporate greed being what it is, I haven't been able to afford the last couple of years. I shouldn't blame that, but it's too expensive for me.
Sure, I understand.
So
I understand.
They want me to come in.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess you'll experience some symptoms if something does crop up again. But but yeah, the stuff you bring up with Mary Lou Henner is fantastic. And I love the fact that they figured out that nutrition is such a huge part of the equation because, Colin Campbell did this work where he did this book called The China Study, where he went and found in portions of China there was no cancer or heart disease. And so obviously nutrition plays a huge part in the equation.
Wasn't he the doctor who was in Forks Over Knives?
I think he was, yeah.
Yeah, the doctor, it's highly recommended. I have a question. I've got a friend who's into nutrition and staying healthy, not just dealing with disease, and he says that there's a high correlation between inflammatory foods and tumor growth. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, you know, I think everybody's body is different. And so it really helps if each person can meet with a nutritionist and find out how their body works and what they're allergic to. And, you know, we always want anti-inflammatory foods. And so turmeric is just fantastic because you're always, you know, it's a great anti-inflammatory. But to find out what foods are causing the problems for you, I think that's the secret. And that's where we have to all get the testing. But, you know, your friend very well may be right that inflammatory foods can be bad for cancer. I bet they are.
In the movie, I forget who is talking about it, but there were certain conditions where certain kinds of foods were good for some kind of people and other kinds for good for those foods that were not good for some people were actually good. Alkaline versus...
Yeah, you're wanting to find a high alkaline diet or high alkaline forming foods because Otto Warburg's discovery that he got a Nobel Peace Prize or a Nobel Prize for was that no disease can exist in an alkaline environment. Diseases love acidic environments. And so that's the trick is how do you create that alkaline environment in the body?
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You know, I have another question, a psychology question. I've heard the term, quote, cancer personality. In other words, resentment, anger, withholding, all of that stuff. Is there any anecdotal or even scientific stuff that points to that, or is that not true?
I'm actually going to let Jeff answer that first.
Well, the great thing is there's this doctor in Germany, Dr. Reitgerd Hammer. H-A-M-E-R, and he's been so maligned. Even if you go to his Wikipedia page, they print all this stuff that is totally untrue. What he did was he looked at 20,000 cancer patients and looked at their emotional situations specifically related to their specific cancers. So for women with breast cancer, it was like they had a conflict in their life where they felt like somebody was literally being ripped from their breast. And so their process, their healing process, was to find out where that conflict was and then to try to resolve it. And for bladder cancer patients, which my wife is, you know, it's a feeling that they have been, I think, deceived or taken advantage of in some way. And so their conflict resolution is to find out you know, emotionally, where in the past they had some sort of issue where they were taken advantage of or played for the fool or something like that. So H-A-M-E-R, Dr. Hammer, he's done a lot of work on this. I think that's the guy, if people want to find out more about how their emotions specifically relate to their cancer, he's got a lot to say about it.
What's really powerful is that it wasn't 20 people, it was 20,000 he looked at. That means a lot.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
And I can actually speak to that not regarding cancer, but I can tell you that over and over and over I see the evidence of that mind-body connection. I had a patient once who had horrible, horrible headaches, and it was because she couldn't think about certain things. It was just too painful to think about certain things, so she would get this physical headache. I see Nick, you're calling. Hold that thought. I'm going to hang up and... Oh, no, he hung up. I had someone who was scheduled for back surgery, and I really had the idea that... I really thought that this pain in her back was because she was so burdened by different things in life. And I said, have the surgery, but wait 6 months, you know, and then have the surgery if you still have back pain. 6 months after therapy, her back pain was gone. I see this over and over and over. Larry, I'm going to let you go and answer the next call.
Sure, Larry.
So,
okay, thanks, doctors and doctors.
Thank
Talk to you later.
Bye. Hi, Nick.
Hi.
I can hear something in the background. Can you maybe shut it
off? I'm getting away.
Okay.
I'm curious. I have someone very close to me who probably 2 months ago came down with lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And his father died of lung cancer. His sister died of lung cancer. And just part of it is just, I can't talk to him about it. I just have a lot of problems. And now I hear this this film that I'd really like to share with him. And before I do, what's the difference, side effects? Is there a lot of, is it one of the advantages is of going this route, is that the side effects that he has, that he goes to Emory Clinic every 2 or 3 weeks, different than the film?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So my wife went to Germany, and it was like a spa. There was no pain. There were no side effects. It's hard to have negative side effects when you give the body natural things that it has a need for. And cancer patients are getting cancer because something's out of balance and their body needs something that it's not getting. So the natural solution is to always give the body what it needs rather than, say, drugs, which the body has no congenital need for. And, you know, you talked about the other thing of how do you talk to people who have cancer, because they're terrified. They don't want to hear your opinion. And I think what you can always do is say, hey, there is a great new film out there documenting some breakthrough cancer treatment methods, and I hope you can watch it. It's on Amazon Prime Videos. It's called Cancer Can Be Killed. It's free for Prime subscribers, or $1.99 for anyone else. And if you even want to buy the DVD, that's available on our website, cancercanbekilled.com. But I think that gives people a chance to look at something without being all defensive and saying, well, you don't know what I feel and you don't know the science behind this and blah, blah, blah. And you say, okay, fair enough, but check out this film. It has some information that you probably haven't heard before.
Yeah, I think that just speaking as to what it feels like, how people react to you, I didn't tell very many people what I was going through when I went through it, which is ironic since now I'm telling a lot of people. But one thing that I noticed was the friends who did know, some of them had no idea how to talk to me, and so they just wouldn't. Or they would text me and go like, oh, thinking of you, hope you're doing well. What I wanted to hear was someone who's, or it's going to be fine, you know, that kind of stuff. What I wanted to hear was what one friend of mine would say. She'd be like, this sucks. It is horrible that you're going through this. It's totally effed up. And I am so sorry. I'm not going to pretend to know what you're going through, but I know that it's awful. And she's the one that made me feel the best. So I think that even if you are forthright with your friend and say, this is so hard, it's so horrible, and then go into what I think Jeff had a really lovely way of introducing the topic of the movie, I think that he would be receptive to that.
Well said.
And one quick question. Is there a list of places to go? Like you said, your wife went to Germany.
Yeah.
Are there a list of places?
Yeah, there's a number listed on my website, cancercanbekilled.com, but there's another great website called cancertutor.com. And cancertutor.com actually has a map of the United States with all the natural clinics on it, and even a number of clinics in Mexico. And then, thirdly, there's a great website called germancancerclinics.com. And they can refer you to specific clinics that deal with your specific type of cancer. So,
great.
And lung cancer, holy smokes, the natural people are just crushing it. The traditional Western medical approach to dealing with lung cancer is not so good, and they're not having great results. And so I would really encourage this person to find a clinic that treats it naturally.
Yeah, I just want to repeat those websites. Cancercanbekilled.com,
yep.
Cancertutor.com, and GermanCancerClinics.com. Great resources.
Thank you, doctors.
Thank
you're
you.
You're very welcome. Any other questions, Nick?
That's what I needed to know. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for calling, Nick.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
I want to mention one other thing. Yeah. You know, this one clinic I went to in Florida, I asked the doctor, what's the cause of cancer? His opinion was, you know, besides being an imbalance in the body, he said the two main causes of cancer are emotional issues and teeth issues. And I'm like, wait a minute, teeth issues. And
root canals,
specifically. Yeah, abscess teeth and root canals. Yeah. And what he says, what happens with a root canal is that they cut off the nerve supply and the blood supply to the tooth, thus leaving a gangrenous organ in the body. So it would be like having an appendectomy, only they leave your appendix in your body to just sort of fester. And he said it's like a $50 million industry, the whole dentistry thing of root canals. And he said, they're going to be really angry at me. They are angry at me. But what happens is the body can't fight everything at once. And so when the immune system is so busy fighting that root canal and the infection there, it just doesn't have room to then fight the cancer. So isn't this amazing that our teeth and the treatment of our teeth, that's another area that doctors need to sort of grow up dealing with?
He's also, if I recall correctly, the one who talked about Dr. Hammer and made the correlations between certain types of cancers and certain kinds of emotions, which, you know, again, I see all the time with people. There's Freud would call it, or, you know, psychoanalysis would call it, you know, a conversion disorder or somatizing. But it's when something emotional, some emotional conflict that you may or may not be aware of, it's often unconscious, manifests as a physical problem. So it's very interesting. We do have that mind-body connection, and we have to take care of both.
That's what's so cool about the way these people dealt with cancer in the film. They all looked at cancer as, all right, I created this. My body is creating this for a reason. There's something wrong, and this cancer is going to help me to find out what's wrong. And they were able to go down that sort of spiritual path of finding out, okay, where was I hurt? How can I heal these hurts? So it was a spiritual journey for them. And this one woman back in New York who had stage 4 cancer, and her method of dealing with it was cannabis. And cannabis oil was keeping the cancer at bay, keeping it from growing. And she was living her life completely new. It was like, okay, I don't have any care today other than just to enjoy life, eat great, enjoy my friends. And I came away from that interview and I felt like, well, that's it. I'm going to live my life like a stage 4 cancer patient who's willing to just give it up and say, all right, that's it. I'm done. I'm done with this preoccupation with what I think needs to happen today. And I'm going to start just really enjoying what's here.
When I was first grappling with my diagnosis, what I thought was that my whens turned into ifs. Looking back, I was over, I mean, it was only stage 1, but still, you know, the C word is pretty scary. So even though everyone was reassuring me, the doctors were reassuring me and saying, this is not a threat to your life, it's only stage 1, for me, it was like, oh, it's cancer.
It's the beginning of the end.
It's the beginning of the end. And it turned my when, like all the whens. When we go on that great European vacation again, when we do this, when we do that, when I write my next book, all of a sudden it became if. And it really does give you a perspective of your life that's changed. How many more hugs am I going to get from my family? You know, suddenly the limitations of life the future just came barreling up to be right in front of my face. And in a way, I just like the people in your film, I was grateful for it because it did give me a big reminder of, wait, what's important? And it sounds so trite, But it's, you know, with often with things that are trite, it's very true. It makes you realize, wait, what is important in your life, and living your life and enjoying your life and doing good and feeling good, that's the purpose of life.
So when did you start feeling a little less like if and feeling more like, okay, this is going to be okay? Or are you still on that journey of getting to the place of where you can say, I've had cancer and this is going to be okay?
I think it was just realizing that I could do something to make it, I could do something about it. Mm. Because it was the helplessness and the fear also contributed to that. What if?
Yeah, and just to share our experience, when my wife came back from Germany cancer-free, she then went in for another checkup a couple months later, and a tiny little polyp started growing in her bladder again. And it freaked us out. And at that point, she said, okay, I'm going to get serious about nutrition. I'm going to do a smoothie every day. I'm going to load that smoothie with fruits and vegetables. I'm going to cut out all the refined sugar, a lot less red meat, and no get rid of the processed foods and very little gluten or bread, because that's hard to digest. And ever since then, nothing grew in her. It was perfect, cancer-free. And then she just went back for a checkup, and they found another tiny little thing that they lasered off. And she said, okay, now I want to go another step of the way. I want to detoxify my body better. Like, I'm getting all the good nutrition, and that's working. But now I want to detoxify. So she's, because, you know, a lot of the immune system's in the gut. The bladder is in the gut. So therefore, you know, the next stage is detoxify. And you do that through detoxifying foods and supplements, but also colon hydrotherapy, coffee enemas. There are things that cleanse the liver, and then the body starts really functioning well. And for us, we feel like that's our defense. That's our way to feel like, okay, we're going to be all right here.
Mm-hmm. So I can imagine people going, coffee enemas, oh, please, really? You know, but in there's actually science behind it, and you have anecdotal evidence, if not scientific evidence, that such things work.
Yeah, and this doctor in Florida, Dr. Carlos Garcia, he was doing something called chelation to detoxify the body, and it's something given intravenously. And how he discovered this was, initially, when he had a medical practice, he found that for all of his heart patients that were on chelation, they went off all their drugs, so that no more drugs after chelation. And so you do have to go somewhere. You do have to get an IV. We may do that eventually. But, I mean, the power of this stuff is there are Western medical doctors that are saying this works. Right. If there's not something written up in a journal, or the FDA doesn't want you to know about it, okay, that's one thing. But there's actual research and doctors going, hey, this detoxifying the body thing, this really works. And that's what's happening right now in society, is there's so many toxins. I mean, they're spraying weed killer on all the wheat because it's easier to harvest. I mean, please. Right. So we've got weed killer, we've got all these toxins coming at us. And so that's why suddenly detoxifying the body sounds like a really good thing.
Yeah. When I asked my oncologist, why did this happen to me? I'm super healthy. I'm active. I'm, you know, everything that you're supposed to do, I did. And that was the other thing that was so unfair, I felt. It was like, wait a second. Okay, I eat right. I exercise. I do everything I'm supposed to do. I have no family history. Well, my grandmother when she was 80, but that doesn't really count. Why did this happen to me? Mm-hmm. It gave me such a sense of, I'm doing everything right. Aren't things supposed to be all right then?
Yeah.
And she just said, honestly, she said, we're seeing so many more cases of younger women. It's the environment.
Thank you.
You know, it's the environment. She said, there's something in the environment that is causing this massive numbers of much younger women getting breast cancer than ever before. And it's not just a matter of it being diagnosed earlier because of the new diagnostic tools, like, you know, digital mammography also contributed to that. But she said it is definitely the environment.
And I think the female reproductive organs are more sensitive to the toxins that are in our environment. I don't know what it is, but the hormones, it just, the female body just really reacts to that stuff. And so, yeah, we're going to have to somehow figure out a way to get less toxins and get more of the good stuff in.
And it really comes back to what I talk with people a lot about, with it, which is self-care and self-nurturing. And when you are in a battle with your body, as so many of my listeners are, trying to lose weight, the body becomes the enemy. You know, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to whip myself into shape. I'm disgusting, they say. I'm gross. You know, all these horrible things. They're in an adversarial relationship with their own bodies. When you can be in a more loving, responding way to your body and say, wait, it's not some other, this body that I'm hating. This is me.
Yeah.
And I want to nurture myself, and I want to take care of myself, and I want to figure out what it is like my body really needs.
Yeah. And, you know, there, a lot of times you'll hear, and by the way, I love your comment of this sucks, you know, saying that to your friends. But a lot of times people will go to the length of saying F cancer, and they come up with this big thing on their Facebook page that says F cancer. They've got some slogan. I don't find that to be as helpful to the process as those people who go, thank you, cancer. I mean, this sucks, but thank you for pointing out to me that there's something wrong, mm-hmm. and that I can fix it, mm-hmm. and that the universe, everything we need is right here. The universe isn't somehow out to screw me. I can get what I need, and this is the thing. This is the vehicle that's going to help me get back to center.
Yeah, so it's not so much about this is the enemy, F cancer. Cancer's the enemy, and focusing on that. It's about saying, okay, how do I nurture and nourish and take care of my body throughout this process? And because when you become attuned to your body, that's where intuitive eating eventually happens. You know, when you're thinking, I can't have that, the anticipation of deprivation always leads to binging, right? You think you can't have something, just makes you want it more.
So do you sort of plan out your eating day, or do you
No.
just kind of go moment to moment?
I go moment to moment.
Huh.
Because that's how it has to be. Otherwise, I'm, you know, how do I know what I'm going to want for dinner, you know, or lunch?
Interesting. You know? Interesting. So then what's your filter? Like, how do you go to a party, let's say, and mm-hmm. out there are some incredible banana muffins, or I don't know what your food is that's your problematic thing, but you go to some party, it's there. What's your method of dealing with that?
I have no problematic things anymore because my attitude is I can have it. So I'm going to choose whether I want it.
Okay.
However, in previous years, when I was really struggling in my eating disorder years, it was like, I can't have that. If I have that, oh, I want it. Oh, I'll just have a little bit. And then the little bit would turn into more and more and more and more. And then I'd be like, oh, I feel so sick. Now I need to get rid of it.
Huh.
You know, and it was all about this game I was playing about deprivation. But when you say, I can have it, do I want it? Or I'll have a bite of it because I can have it any time.
Yeah.
When you know you can have it any time.
What's the hardest part of the day for you?
There is no hard part of the day.
Really? Even nighttime? 9 o'clock at night? 10 o'clock
Mm-mm.
at night?
Mm-mm.
You're not going, oh, God, I didn't get everything I wanted today.
Mm-mm.
I think I'll go have this.
Mm-mm. No, because a lot of times what I find, especially with people who are struggling with weight, is what they want, they think they want food, but whatever the food they want really points to the emotion. So people who like, oh, I really want some ice cream. Ice cream is correlated with the need for comfort. You know, so, I really want those muffins. Muffins are bulky, correlated with filling a void. Crunchy is correlated with anger. So often when people say, well, that just really sounds good, really they're trying to address an internal emotion rather than have a food.
Fascinating.
So,
well, I would say the time of the day for me, it's either early in the morning and then late at night. And the rest of the day, I'm fine. But my emotional trigger points are first couple hours of the day and the last hour at night.
And I guess I would be wondering, when are you most alone? Like, when are you?
Morning.
Yeah, because often it's when people are just in a state of being that they have a hard time. When they're busy and they're doing things and they're talking to people and getting things done, it's not a problem. But when they're in a space of just being with themselves, it comes up as a distraction. Because if you're thinking about, I should eat that, I shouldn't eat that, I should eat that, I shouldn't eat that, I ate that, I can't believe I ate that, oh my God, you know, then that is a distraction from something inside that maybe you don't want to think about or feel.
Yeah.
But
yeah, nice.
Food for thought.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. This has been a really interesting, informative, and I should say inspiring conversation. I love how you end the movie, which is you say, keeping cancer away, once you've killed it, keeping cancer away can be a spiritual journey that restores the soul. I just found that to be such a soothing and perfect way to describe this, my own journey, and also what I was seeing in your film, and it was very hopeful.
Yeah, thanks. And that seemed to be what was working. Like, for the people that were keeping cancer away, that was their attitude.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for making this film. I'm going to help you let people know about this film as much as I can. I think it's an important film for anyone who knows anyone with cancer, has had cancer, or is a human being on this planet, because it's information that we all need to have. So thank you again, Jeff Weitzman, director, author, everything to do with the film Cancer Can Be Killed, which is available on Amazon, free for Amazon Prime members, and I think you said $1.99.
Yeah.
Less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
There you go.
All
beautiful.
Right.
Thank you so much for getting the word out.
Thank you. I am here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific to give you the skinny on weight loss without dieting and other subjects that pertain to our health. I'll see you next week.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.